Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio. Yo, yo, witchy poo, how are you?
I am great, my elf.
Did a little switch on you today.
You totally switched it
on. I know. You're welcome. You are so welcome. I think I always catch you off guard, though. I think that's just why I'm in your life, is to catch you off guard.
It's awesome. Did you keep me on my toes?
Oh, Lord. Okay, so today we're actually going to start the episode with a story.
I love your stories. You're such a good story elf.
I'm a story elf.
And this is one of my favorites because portals are really your origin story with the ghost photographer, right?
I know. And I love a good origin story because, you know, I'm obsessed with Iron Man and being an origin story. I do. And I love Robert Downey Jr.
You are just like Iron Man. If an Iron Man was a lesbian living in the valley when she wrote this.
Right, exactly. And maybe Iron Man was.
Maybe he was.
I think that's totally fine.
So good.
So those who have actually, you know, read my book will recognize this story, but don't turn off your damn radio/podcast device, because this is the first time you're going to hear Brenda in the story. So, because your version of things are also hilarious, because I know so many times you just shake your head and you just want to flick me on the forehead, which is one of my favorite things. So the story begins with birds and the dangers of shopping on Etsy.
As any good story does start with.
It's totally true, but you'll totally understand why this is birds and dangerous shopping on Etsy. So this was probably, 8 or 9 years ago. You know, time eludes me. I think like it does everybody else. But we were living in Sherman Oaks, and my lovely wife, Suzanne, had installed, I don't mean just set outside, but she installed a big long row of virtually the length of the property line of bird feeders. She's like, I want birds. Baby, I want some birds. And so she put these incredible bird feeders up along our property. And, you know, week goes by, and she has them filled with all the proper seeds and everything. And you know, this week goes by, and she's like, where are the birds? Like, she was devastated by not having birds. And she looked at me, and she goes, baby, bring me some birds. And I'm like,
Didn't she say, conjure me some birds?
I think she said conjure. She did. She said, conjure me some birds. I'm like, well, I'll go conjure you some birds. So,
and I was like, ooh, she's throwing it down. I got to show up for my lady.
Heck yeah, I do. Yeah. Anytime Suzanne asks me to do something, for the most part, I will.
And Suzanne is a great woman fester.
Somebody who can fest is that woman. She should lead our Femme Fest festival. Oh, look, it all flows. So, of course, in my infinite non-wisdom, because I had no wisdom.
Well, you were new elf on the path.
I was a new elf on the path, that I thought it would be a really good idea to soak crystal points in an animal spirit concoction that I bought off of eBay. So this is where eBay comes into play. I'm not eBay, Etsy.
I was going to say, Etsy.
They start with an E. So it's the same.
It's not the same.
No, you're right. It's not the same. So I ordered this, I think it was like some ancestral, which is, I think you go wrong anytime you have that. Anytime you do this, it's wrong. So I ordered this stuff, and I remember I had this piece of pottery that I had thrown myself. So, of course, I have my energy that's in the pottery because I made the pottery. I put these crystal points, and I soak them in this whatever concoction shit I bought on Etsy.
And she's going to conjure her baby some birds.
Right, and it actually gets worse. It gets worse because what I did, I didn't just put them out by the bird feeders. I really think I set a grid. I mean, I pointed them a certain... You didn't know that part, did you? Because I just now realized that I think I gridded it. It's amazing I'm not dead. So I really think I made a grid. And I think what I did was I had all... I'd had the points like in a circle
coming in
yeah, of course to the bird feeders. Right. So here I am thinking I'm all awesome. And I'm apparently, you know, opening a portal in my backyard. So I grid all of these bird feeders. I mean, I had at least a good 50 to 60 small crystal points that I was working with here. Like, I mean, if I fuck up, I'm going to fuck up big. I am not going small. I mean, go big.
You don't
big.
Know how to go small. If something was small, you would just step on it. You'd be like, whatever that was, that's nothing. Let me show you how it's done.
It's totally true. It's totally true. It's very true. I can't lie. It's true. So I'm going to go big. So I have like 50 or 60 of these points, and I'm like setting up on all of these bird feeders. And the next day, you could hear them outside of our living room, kitchen, everywhere. All
just so you know, like people, I know I'm not the movie person that my elf is, but this is usually the closing scene of a horror story. That's what's happening
totally
right now.
That's exactly. And in this case, it's the beginning of one. So I am.
So Suzanne gets up. Thank you, darling.
So Suzanne is like, oh my God, you conjured me up some birds. We had no idea the price we were paying for it. But interestingly enough, the price ended up being pretty awesome, but it scared the living shit out of me for quite a while. So what happened shortly after that, Suzanne and I went on a quick trip to Cincinnati, and we saw you, and then we went to New Orleans, and then we come home. And that is when I went to go get a bottle of water, and I opened the fridge, and when I closed it, I looked out the kitchen window, and I see like a bird that flew into the window. And because you could see the kind of the oil and the dust and the even the bird beak, you could see the beak.
Yeah.
And I walked outside anticipating I was going to see a bird carcass, and there was nothing. And so this is when I had wisdom. I started getting some as I took a picture of it and I sent it to you.
That is correct.
And I sent it to you and I'm like, get a load of this. And I, of course, was talking about the bird imprint on my window. That is not what you were talking about.
That is not
when
what
you
I was
responded.
About.
When you responded back.
Right. And we know that our winged friends are great messengers, right? We know this, that they will show up and behave in all kinds of ways in service of humanity getting a forehead flick.
I had thousands of those flicks because if each bird was a messenger.
No, it's true. But they're trying to get your attention. They're literally trying to get your attention.
They did.
And so she sends me this picture and she's like, and it's so crazy. There was no bird carcass. And I'm like, who cares about the damn bird? The bird's a messenger. Like, look at what you caught. Look at the spooks you caught in this. And she's like, what?
You said, you said, because I actually still have screenshots of those messages. Because I was actually going to use the screenshots in the book. And then Simon Schuster was like, no, we don't put text screenshots in. They just write what they say. I'm like, wait, I have to type all that shit now? Clearly not the best author on the planet. And lazy author. Hashtag lazy author. But in it, I remember you saying, open your eyes, my elf.
Yes.
And I'm like, huh? And that's when revealed.
Yeah.
You know, my first ghost photo that
you
led
a portal.
So that was the first ghost photo, and I'm all like wrapped up in the ghost photos. And then, of course, I was dumb and asked you a question, because here's an interesting thing about my witchy poo is that she ain't gonna tell you unless you ask her. So I've done learn that lesson.
Which is why.
If I want to know, I'm gonna ask, because she will not offer it up unless you ask. So I asked the question, how'd this happen? It was a vague, relatively innocent-ish question. She comes back to me and says, you opened a portal. I went, fuck, like Poltergeist? Because, of course, everything to me goes to a movie. I'm like, am I going to get sucked in like Carrie Ann? I'm like, am I screwed? What's going to happen? You're like, you opened a portal. You need to close it. And so for weeks on end, that's when I got like my big smudge pot, and I really should have bought stock into this sage farm. Because I burn so much sage that I would walk around the property with Homer, my beloved and dear yellow lab. And he was like he was my little protector ghost dog, because he did everything with me. And yeah. We would go walk in the backyard, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Clearly, I didn't know what the hell I was doing at all. And And so I'm walking like all around the back, and I'm talking to Mom, because she's like, at the time, I mean, the spirit that I knew to talk to, if anybody's going to protect me, it's, you know, should be my mother. And I'm talking to Mom, saying, Mom, please keep all the bad stuff away. Because then I started to ask you, what's a portal? That was after I started thinking I was trying to close one. I don't know what the hell I was doing.
By the way, what
am I doing? So for the sake of everybody, you know, of all
and
of our listeners, what's
talk
a portal?
More
oh,
about
damn
what
it, a damn
portal
break.
Is.
Fine,
when
break.
When we come back from this break.
And we're back to Poltergeist. I mean, no, we're back to having Brenda explain to us what a, well, her answer she gave me when I said, what exactly is a portal?
What did I say?
I think you said it was kind of like Poltergeist, even though you said it was a dramatic version, but I think you actually did say that, and then you scared the hell out of me even more.
Well, yes. I mean, first of all, I think Poltergeist is hilarious, right? I mean, it's such a funny movie.
To you, it's a comedy. You're the only person on the planet that thinks that Poltergeist is a comedy.
It's a total comedy, right? And it really, what a portal is, it's an opening to another dimension. And there are natural portals in the world, the thresholds, you know, whether it's a doorway or a window, a mirror, like these are natural portals that you can be activated to create entryways into another dimension. That's why I say a portal is. It's just like in Stranger Things, right? How do you go to the upside down world? You go through a portal, right? The problem is sometimes they're one way, and that sucks.
Right, right. So well, little, and you also, I do remember, because again, I have all the screenshots, you don't. But I remember you saying to me, the problem with a portal is that it is an open door for whatever wants to come through. And there's no doorman, doorwoman, there's no bouncer that is there. And I think I recall after you telling me that, the next time I went out, which was probably 10 minutes after I hung up the phone with you, if not 10 seconds, that when Homer and I went back out, I remember I was asking Mom to be our bouncer.
Nice.
At the portal. But like, that's the danger, is you are leaving it open for whatever something wonderful can come through.
Absolutely.
And something super utter shitty
can
come through.
And you had all those experiences, right? With you know, dancing chickens and everything else.
No. That was a crazy thing. Like, I mean, legit, yeah. That thing was, and it was open for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I've had portals open so much in my little house right before I moved into the house that I'm in now. I lived in this great, maybe 1,800, 1,500 square feet, small house that I just loved so much. And I used to do all my readings out of the second bedroom upstairs and across the hall, which was not very far, right? It was a smaller house. And this portal opened up across the hall from my reading room. I mean, there were a couple other portals that opened up in the house as well. And when I went to sell the house, which these portals were very supportive. Like when I would walk by them, it was like I would get these blessings. It was it held the energy of the healing sessions of everything that I was doing in the house. And
what are you saying? You didn't have dancing chickens come out of your portal like I did?
I had dancing chickens. I had a lot of angels. I had my spirit guides. Mm. I had so much. When I went to sell the house in the hottest market ever, real estate market, I couldn't sell this sweet little house that was like so pristine. Everything was taken out of there. It was perfect. And people would say, I don't like the floors. They were hardwood floors in a house that was built in the 20s, right? It's what you would expect. Like it's not, I don't like the color. Everything was painted white. Like everything was neutralized in the house. And there was no reason. And then I realized, actually I got a message that said, it's the portals in the house. So I had to go to the house, shut down the portals. And so I'm having this conversation with the energy of the portal, the guardian of the portal. Then I said, you know, look, can you just shut it down? And then when whoever moves here, you can support them. And so my beloved's watching me and he's like, she's just staring at a wall, shaking her head, and she starts crying. I'm like, what is happening?
That's amazing.
That's literally what you saw when you know. But I'm having this heart-to-heart conversation with the spirit guardian of the portal and told me that said, no, we opened up to support you. When this closes down, it'll never open up again. And it just made me so sad.
Oh, that's when you started to cry.
And that's when I
get it. I kind of want to cry now.
I know, it was really sad. But this is the deal. So these portals shut down and I sold the house and closed within 10 days. Like, that's how powerful the portals are, that people walked in and they didn't know why they weren't comfortable, but they weren't comfortable because of the energy and the intensity of these portals that just delighted me. Every time I walked by, I was like, oh, thanks. Oh, hi.
It's awesome. Oh, that's so funny. You know what when Suzanne and I sold our house, the ghost house in Sherman Oaks, I was a little concerned about it. You know, because it's like I captured so many ghost pictures and I, you know, all the things that happened in that house. What was interesting is we had gone on a vacation in order to let the realtor do his thing. When we got back, there were no offers on the house. Again, hot market. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember I said to Sue, like, oh, I think we need to stand in front of the house and we need to remove our cords to the house. And if we can remove ourselves from it. And so we went through this kind of ceremony and the next day had an offer.
Yeah, that's
it's the craziest thing that happened.
The energy is real and people react to it. They don't have the language to say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with the portal at the bottom of the stairs or the one at the top of the stairs or the one in front of the fireplace. but they say, I don't like the floors.
Right, I don't like the floors. The couple that bought our house, because Suzanne met them at one point and Suzanne wanted to know, like, you know, she was kind of fishing. She was like, so what exactly did you like about the house? She goes, it's hard for me to explain. I just love the energy. And Suzanne said, well, Julie did lock it down because I black tourmalined and I grounded the shit out of that place. It's like that thing is like a fortress. So she felt very safe, I think is what she felt. But portals that we're talking, said somehow we should have called this How to Sell Your House episode.
That closing your portals.
this is a bonus in the episode. But how do we know, Bryn, if we've opened a portal?
Like, I didn't consciously open portals to support my work in that little house. But what happens is when you build a specific amount of energy, all of a sudden you can, whatever it is, whether you're working, from home, as many people are, or if you have a baby, so you open a portal of love and protection in the baby's room. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can build that when you repeat energy in a certain spot, whether it's meditation or yoga practice or anything like that, you're building that energy in that space. And so like the energies of the earth, the energies of the atmosphere, the energies of the cosmos will match that space. And when things line up perfectly, boom, there's a connection and the portal's open. So that can usually be how it happens. And you can tell because there's a shift in energy. Sometimes even if you soften your gaze, you can see the outline of how it feels. Or if you scan with an open palm, you can actually feel like a little buzziness in the center of your hands or at the tips of your fingers as you're passing your hand through this space. It's pretty fun. Actually, some people can almost taste something on the back of their tongue, or there can be a scent shift because it's all frequency, right? It's all frequency.
And I believe a number of episodes back, you had actually talked through how everybody can ignite their hand chakras. Mm-hmm. Do you mind telling them again really quickly for those that may not have heard that episode?
When you're scanning, thank you, Myelf.
You're welcome.
So just bring your hands together in prayer position, palm to palm, and then separate your fingers and your thumb. So only the palms and the base of the fingers, right, are touching, and then rub. Everyone rub your palms together.
We're both doing it together right now.
In a circle. So you're making a circular motion. And just before your hands burst into flames, because you'll make some kinetic heat here. We want the kinetic heat. You're going to pull them apart just like an inch apart. And you can feel that buzziness of the palm chakras spinning against each other. And you can even keep your hands moving in a circle, kind of tracing the palms against each other. That's really fun. Now the palm chakras are wide open. So you can go ahead and scan and feel for where you might have opened a portal.
Yeah, and P.S., I have used that to find ghosts, too. just for the record.
Yeah, it's because you have something to sense the energetic world. And it's funny because usually you'll be drawn right to the space anyhow. And you're like, wait, there can't be them everywhere, but they're not really everywhere, but you'll be drawn to it pretty quickly.
So there are, I think we have some of the most famous portals here in North America. And do you want to talk about that after a break?
I was just thinking the same thing.
You're so
psychic.
Oh, yeah, funny psychic humor. And I think it's because I have my palm chakras activated.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. And we are back. Yay. Brenda's celebrating. And we're back. Woo-woo. And we were getting ready to talk about, really, I think, some of the most famous portals possibly in the world, but definitely in North America, are in Sedona, Arizona.
We love Sedona.
Oh, God. You know, and Sedona's a funny place. We met a lot of locals the multiple times we'd been there because it was a, you know, fairly decent drive from Los Angeles to get there. I remember one local that was saying, Sedona's an interesting place. And we're like, yeah, it sure is. They're like, no, it's interesting because it will throw people out. Like, it will turn people around. Like, people have gone, you know, to move there and they left. It did not. They were uninvited or probably never invited in the first place.
This is, again, a Wheel of Fortune thing where you get off on the wrong stop.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So the first time we had gone, again, I have no sense of time anymore. I'm living on a COVID calendar. So just to say a number of years
which
back.
Which is an oxymoron.
Right. We went there a number of years back, and it was the first time either one of us had ever been. And we went there on the mission of experiencing, they don't call them portals there.
They call them vortexes.
They call them vortexes. Mm-hmm.
Same
so
thing.
We won, exactly, tomato, tomato, vortex portal. So it was, I would say, the most interesting physical, I think, representation of a vortex that we saw were how the juniper trees grew. So as you are hiking, because you have to hike to get to these portals, only one you don't have to hike to, which I think is by the airport there. But you have to hike to get to these portals. And you can tell just visually where the outskirts of the activity is, because juniper trees were growing, they were twisted. They were mm-hmm. literally twisted trees. Mm-hmm. And that's not how juniper trees grow. So clearly, right, there's something that's going on here. But of course, like, you know, other people who are sensitive to this, is that I could feel, like, I took a step, and I remember the step I took, I felt different than where I was.
Yeah.
And that's how you know.
It's an energy shift. And there can't even be a temperature shift. Like, my hand's inside the portal, my hand's outside the portal. There can be a temperature shift. It's very subtle.
It's not
like, oh, I need a sweater. It's, you know, it's very, very subtle, but it's palpable.
Definitely is. And, you know, and for me, a step isn't very far because I have really short legs for somebody my height. So it's only a matter of inches, really, what my steps are to get from one to the other.
I love that about you, Elf.
Yeah, that's short legs. I lower to the ground, so I, you know, have good stability. But as I, you know, was walking closer to where the center of it was, as you can totally, you know, it's even more intense, right? So the intensity just gets greater and greater as you go there. And so when we landed to where we believe the middle was, you know, we sat on a rock, because that's all there is to sit on there. So we sat on a rock, and I sat there and I closed my eyes and I attempted to do a meditation, but I couldn't, because it felt like I was on a Ferris wheel and spinning. In fact, I became nauseous, where I had to open my eyes to get my bearings, because I was afraid that I would, you know, get sick. Because that's how intense it was.
And when you're in a portal, and there can be, you know, micro portals, there can be ones that are, you know, miles wide, you know, but when you're in a portal, learning to drop those grounding cords can be super helpful. And
for the record, I did. But I'm going to tell you, I did.
But they have to be bigger in a portal.
Noted.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah. So if you're used to, like, dropping, you know, just a little thread, you know, make it as big as a redwood trunk. Like,
yeah, well, the funny thing is I love to ground with trees, and I was grounded with trees then. Yeah. But I'm telling you, that thing was so intense.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I felt a bit emotional, like it was bringing stuff up out.
Yep.
And so, of course, I have to talk to the locals, because I just think that's the most fun part about going on a trip. And then, of course, reading stories, because I am your nerdy elf. And so they were telling me, like, you know, some of the stories that they heard or their experiences and so on and so forth. And they're are definitely, you know, cases of people, you know, feeling overcome with tranquility, which was not me. I'm never tranquil. Shut up. I knew it. I asked for it.
Well, things get amplified in a portal, right? They get amplified.
Sure. So tranquility would not be one that I would amplify. Fine.
Creativity would be amplified.
Creativity would. But also there were, you know, stories of people having emotional outbursts. Sure. The part that I didn't experience, what I really wish I could have, in fact, I kind of want to go back today to see if I can, but there are reports of strange lights appearing, you know, or sounds like bells or thunder when there were no bells around and there were no clouds in the sky. And I thought that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Again, didn't experience that. So you've been a number of times yourself, right?
I have. Interestingly enough, it was Procter & Gamble that took me to Sedona for the first time.
Well, thank you, P&G.
I know. It's just, you know, such a spiritual company. So,
okay, I'm not going there.
Yeah, we had a meeting there. And of course, I went a few days early because why wouldn't I?
Because you're you.
Because I'm and taking advantage of it. And so anyhow, it was really great. And I've been there a couple times. But during this particular trip, I was contemplating this time to leave P&G. And so I went into, you know, one of the vortex hikes. And it was first of all, it's such a beautiful place. And, you know, it has these red rocks. And, you know, what they say is that the iron in the rocks is what gives it that red glow. And because it's in this valley, the energy bounces through the iron and creates these vortexes.
You're the only person, by the way, who's ever given me an explanation. Everybody else, and even like the books, and maybe they do it just to sell them or whatever, or keep the mystery going on it, but they are like, there is not a scientific, you know, explanation, you know. Some say, you know, the energy is that, you know, is the type of energy that we hold in the human bodies. And there's even my favorite, and I have to share my favorite with you. I know I totally interrupted you, and I'm sorry. This is so fucking fantastic. Because when people feel there's not an explanation, that's when you get into the extreme hypotheses. Those are my favorite.
Right.
But there's one I read about. This is fantastic. That they believe that Bell Rock, which is one of the
formations.
Right. Formations. Yes. It's one of the formations in Sedona is hiding a giant crystal that will someday open up to reveal a giant spacecraft. I'm like, yes. I knew those people existed. I knew we'll have people that's what they want to come like. Completely. Bolting out of Bell Rock.
That's awesome. I've not heard that one. That's good.
That's a good one, right?
So, yes. So you have the energy bouncing around in this valley that can be very disorienting, right? It literally can be disorienting, right? Because the iron ore like can even mess up compasses. Like it's, you know, that powerful, that strong, that magnetic pull. And so I'm on this hike and I have this intention to clear my heart and clear my head and know without wavering, you know, what my path forward is. I scan and, you know, you can literally see for miles on some of these hikes. And so I pick a place to meditate where I'm, you know, close to a couple of trees to get a little, you know, which is rare on these hikes, you know, sometimes. And so I found these trees to meditate and I can see for a long time and I'm meditating and I'm going deeper and deeper and layers, trying to find my clear space. And I hear this Native American flute. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's strange that someone would be so close. You know, clearly they can see I'm meditating. That's crazy. But, you know, I go back into meditation deeper and deeper, and I hear this Native flute again. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's pretty, but this is kind of strange. And I go back in one more time, and I hear it again. And so finally, I come out of it, and for miles and miles, and there is nobody around.
So what I have to ask you, your location, because I'm super curious about this, is were you by the caves? You know, the cave, but the caves there, where there was a Native American tribe that came in that came up from Mexico. And they were a very peaceful tribe because there was so much human and animal sacrificing that was going on in Mexico at the time. So they went north. And it's close to the Enchantment Resort. Were you near that? There you go. That was near the caves. That's tribal land. Yep. There's your answer.
Okay, did not know that answer. Anyhow, mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It was just, it was such a huge blessing. And when I came out of this meditation, in the trunk of the tree was that penny wedged in between the bark of the tree that was perfectly upright. So when I opened my eyes, the first thing I saw was, "In God We Trust."
Oh, wow.
It's like, you know, like if I had been meditating, you know, or just sitting down and picking my place very intentionally, like I wouldn't notice a penny in a tree trunk, you know, but when I opened my eyes, it was the first thing I saw. It was so, anyhow, I took it as a confirmation that it was time to leave Procter & Gamble. So
that was one,
but one time I did it, I just had a, another time I was in Sedona for another reason and I just had time to do a quick hike. And so I do that, I went on one of the shorter Vortex hikes, relatively short. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. You know, got my bottle of water. I'm ready to go. It's supposed to be maybe a 40-minute hike. Took me 4 hours.
Did you get lost because you were disoriented? I think that's the one. That's the one that's not too far from town, and you start right. going straight up.
Right.
That's the one that I got so disoriented.
I was completely and I'd stopped to do a couple meditations, and I thought it would be a 10-minute meditation, and I think it was a lot longer, because like you know everything stops working. Like you have no idea about time and this and that and the other, and I'm running out of water. I completely ran out of water. I'm like, I'm gonna die in this vortex. Oh well, you know.
Same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah,
like I
totally
ran
humbling.
Out. I was like, I was dying of thirst. I was thirsty.
I was concerned. Let's just say
Not to be too dramatic, but I was really thirsty.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty steep hike. So that's the one. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so finally I just surrendered and I'm like, my father, get me out of here. And then I walked straight down the mountain.
It's such a funny thing. See, you probably went by that rock that I closed my eyes on and almost lost my shit.
Yeah.
I have to ask you something. You know what I ask like that?
Here we go.
Buckle up. Okay, so here's my thing. Here's my question. And my question comes, of course, in the form of a story because I'm me. So a good friend of mine is kind of witchy. And I mean, she's legit witchy. Like, yeah, she's just witchy.
She's like Wiccan witchy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She does a lot of things, and I think that is a part of it. Incredibly gifted woman. So she and I don't know how it happened, but we got off talking about portals because that's what you do. Just normal conversation. So we were talking about it, and she said, well, do you know how to close a portal? And I'm like, kind of maybe, I don't know. Because when people ask me that, I really would rather say no because I want to hear what they have to say. And she said, well, I close portals by using an old key. And a key that is not used in any other aspect of your life. So like not for your house, not for your car. So not one of your keys on your keychain.
Not one of your activated keys in your life.
Not exactly. Exactly. Thank you. That's a way better way of saying it. Not one of your activated keys. And she said, you know, ideally it's one that you either find or you buy at a secondhand store and clear it, of course. And she said that you approach the portal, you know, obviously with the intention of wanting to close a portal, but you can turn the key counterclockwise. And that is what she says, a way to close a portal. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely.
Witchy poo thoughts.
Absolutely. Right. This is. And if you can get a skeleton key, even better.
Well, she has though. She gave me one. I have it right here to my left.
Yeah. They're awesome. They're very fun because they carry, you know, that ancient imprint in the formation is really nice because it has a lot of wisdom in it. And so those are absolutely a way to do it. And then of course you have to make sure that you can dispose of that key or you don't cleanse it and use it for something else. Like it doesn't get ever used again.
Yeah, so like that, bury it kind of thing.
I
love to bury things.
Yeah, you can bury it in salt.
I know that sounds
like
very strange, but I like to bury things. That was weird. If anybody's looking for Brenda, look in my backyard. I may have buried her. God, that sounded so bizarre.
I think that's a very bad karma.
I think so, right? Well, I think I would
There's
have
no key
like,
to reverse that.
I think all of our listeners would be hunting me down and killing me. Not to
Some
mention your family.
You
if I bring beer.
So, you know, or you can use the, you know, just having a conversation with the keeper of the portal or the guardian of the portal or the spirit of the portal. You can do it that way. You can also, with, again, your palm chakras activated, as we did earlier in this episode, spinning that in reverse counterclockwise.
In counterclockwise? Mm-hmm. Oh,
counterclockwise.
Wow.
You can do it that way. But that's, you know, that takes some... You got to have some game to do that.
Oh, I like that. So it was really funny, everybody, and not you, Brenda. I'm not talking to you directly. I'm talking to our listeners. Is that in our last break, Brenda said, so do you want to share with everybody how you closed the portal, you know, at your old house? I'm like, I don't think I did. I don't know. I really don't. I want to believe that my mother closed it.
That's possible. And I would think when you and Suzanne released the energy and the grounding cords in the house, that would have closed the portal.
You know, it was really funny. The last few years that we lived there, didn't see many ghosts in photographs.
Oh, okay.
Like, no, yeah, I would go out there and it's just, I somehow.
Margaret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Margaret took care of it.
I think it was her. At least that's what I want to tell myself.
Well, and it served the purpose, right? You were working on your book.
Yeah.
Like you had all the material you needed in 10,000 or however many.
I know, so many.
However many photos, ghost photos you have. So,
but, it's like I'm a ghost photo hoarder.
So I would encourage people to remember portals are really amazing and they help us remember that life is magic here on Earth School. And you want to be responsible with your portal usage and engagement and remember to close them down. So make sure that when you are performing rituals that you actually know what you're doing.
Unlike your elf.
Don't buy keys or oils on Etsy.
No, I know. And I love Etsy. So sorry, Etsy. This is not
Etsy has great things on Etsy. But
fantastic. But this shit, no, don't do it.
Yeah, be mindful. And just remember to do it with intention or send us your questions of how to do this. And remember that you are in charge of your world. So if you are going to open a portal, then you are energetically responsible for that portal. And you know, if you think raising a child is hard, try opening a portal because you've just, invoked and gave birth to a whole new world and given it access to the world. So be mindful of what you're taking on responsibility for. These are important.
Yeah, everybody, listen to Brenda on this. Do not listen to me, guys. Do not follow in my footsteps because I'm a dummy. Do not do that.
You are just new on the path. You wouldn't do that today.
No, so. I wouldn't. That's very true.
And remember, our school is hard.
If you're a dumbass and buy witchy shit on Etsy. Without the other side.
Thanks for
everybody.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at Other Side Guides. Or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.